had been in the tomb for 4 days. And Lazarus' sister Martha is standing in with Jesus, and she said to him, said, "Jesus, if you'd have come just a little earlier, a few days earlier, my brother would live. We'd probably be living." And Jesus said the most profound statement that I found in the Word of God when he spoke to Martha. He said, "Martha," he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" And that's the question that the Lord asked you and I today. You know, because unless we believe in the resurrection, we are not saved. Amen? In a later account, we find in John chapter 20, after Jesus died and arose from the dead, he appeared before some of the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas came, and the other disciple says, "Thomas, you just missed Jesus." And Thomas said, "Unless I can put my finger in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe." Well, the Bible says 8 days later, Jesus appeared again. And he said, "Thomas, my hands and my side." And Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." But Jesus said to him, "Thomas," he said, "you have seen and believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and still believe." You know, faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And today, when I was asking the Lord where to go today, he took me to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And that's where I want to speak to you today. That scripture says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Amen. Great grace was upon them all. Now, I titled this morning, "Because He Lives." Now, I want you to get a hold of something today. Because he lives, blank. Because he lives, what does it mean to you? What does he mean to you? You fill in the blank. Because he lives. Because he lives. Because he lives, what does it mean to you and I? And today I'm going to share 3 things out of this text with you. I'm going to share the power, the preaching, and the pardon. Amen? Are you with me today? I'd like to do this just so we come in an agreement. You know, it's kind of hard for the people to agree on anything. Come on, is it true? You know, so what we're trying to do here is when we do this is just to come into agreement. Amen? So I ask you to hold your word up if you have your Bible. And I ask you to repeat after me. Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen." Father, we're so grateful, Father God. We're grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent this word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. Now I pray, Father God, that you speak through me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done and complete, all glory belongs to you. And we'll never cease to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Is anybody alive here? Now, you know, one of the ways I know that you're alive is you say, hey, amen or hallelujah. Now, see, if you don't say amen or hallelujah, I have to keep on going. In other words, I get this thing in my heart. If I don't hear a response from the people, it's like they're not getting it or they're not understanding it, and I got to keep on talking. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now we got it going. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many know it's okay to have fun in church? How many know that the joy of the Lord's our strength? Nobody wants to come to a sad sack place. Amen. This is a happy place. I'm happy because Jesus is in my heart and my life. Amen. So first off, we're going to look at the power. We're looking at the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. So look with me and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I jumped through the word. So if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you might write down scriptures because you might not be able to find it before I move on. Hallelujah. If you're not used to delving in the word. Okay. The Apostle Paul, this is, he says, with great power gave the apostles. And this great power was the power they had, God instilled in them to share the gospel to save souls to a lost and dying world. How many know that God cares about everyone in this room? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been into, God has a plan in your life. He loves you. He loves you right where you're at, but he loves you so much he just doesn't want to leave you there. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5, he said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." You know, I think about this as the blessed assurance we have in God's word.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now, they didn't have no cue. Barbara Judy just do that. That's their part of them and the message. Isn't it awesome? You know, did you listen to what the words of the song were? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of my trust in Jesus, because of the power of the resurrection. Look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this scripture really fits me a lot. I don't want to hear a lot of amens on this one. See, if I say I don't, I get it, right? The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." There is power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood, would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Well, I like it. Hallelujah. Why did I have them sing that? Because God wants you to understand and have revelation and understand no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, the blood of Christ to remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Amen? And if God doesn't remember it, why should you? Come on. Come on. Amen. We're talking about the saving power of God. We're talking about the resurrection power to save. You know, when I look at that, I look at what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. Speaking about the resurrection again. But if the spirit of him, in verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. That word quicken comes from the Greek word zoupoio, and that word means to make alive. Amen? In other words, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm quickened by the Spirit of God. Amen? In other words, I'm alive. That means if Jesus is alive and you and I are alive, this isn't supposed to be a dead church. Hello? Is anybody alive here? Come on. Come on. If we're alive, amen, we need to start acting like we're alive. Amen? You may think that because somebody gets excited about Jesus that they're crazy. I was crazier. No, I wasn't crazier. I was crazy in the world, but I'm crazier in Christ. Amen. Amen? I don't know about you, but I know what God did for me. Come on. Come on. Come on. What has he done for you? Because he lives what? Because he lives what? What is it in your life? Because he lives. I'm not sick anymore. Because he lives. I'm healed. Because he lives. I'm redeemed. Because he lives. What is it? Amen. Did the pastor get loud? Yeah. I'm not soft-spoken. Amen. But I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. I'm excited about what Jesus is doing in your life. I'm excited about what Jesus is getting ready to do in your life. Amen. Praise God. He says, and with great power gave the apostles witness. Great power. You know, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. These guys had received the witness of the resurrection of Christ. And now they're beginning to move and preach. Amen? Amen? They're preaching. It's the witness to preach his word. Matter of fact, turn with me in Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, I'm reminded, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The account's been reconciled. We talked about the ministry of reconciliation here this morning. Amen? When I was thinking about that, the Lord was, meditating upon this morning, my grandson Eli, he says, Papa, you have ugly feet. That's what I said. Papa, you got ugly feet. And I thought about that, and the Lord said, no, your feet are beautiful. And I looked at them, they didn't look too beautiful. But the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, we're talking about to preach. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I've got some good news for you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's grace is greater. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? When I think of this, I think about his love. His love. You know, the Word of God says that for God so loved the world. I'm not going there yet. We're talking about preaching. You know, some people think that the gospel and the preaching was just for the day of the apostles. And according to God's word, the book is still written, and it's being written today in the hearts and lives of every believer that's in this room. Your life is being written just the same as their life was written and was detailed. And your life is written. And Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. In Mark 16:15, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You're either saved or you're not. You either believe or you don't. He says, who baptized shall be saved. He said, in my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now let me say something about Randy and Randy Brunk. Last week I went into Randy's room. Randy didn't know Jesus. I shared the gospel with Randy Brunk, and Randy Brunk was received Jesus, and he was yellow. He had jaundice. Everything was yellow, and his whole face turned flesh color when he asked Jesus into his heart. And my word, this word declares, he is the resurrection of life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Randy passed from life to life. We're going to miss Randy on this side, but Randy accepted Jesus. I was reminded there was two thieves on each side of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. One asked for forgiveness and one didn't. One was with Jesus and the other one was not. And their last moments of their life. But what God says is don't wait until the last moment of your life. Today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. This is the day to choose him, to receive him as Lord and as of Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Now see where I want to go. Turn with me in your word. Let's go back to, he says, and with great power, he gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor of God. Not something I deserved or not something I earned. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved by faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's an act of God's grace. And how do I receive this gift? Amen. Turn back to Romans 10 again. Verse number 9. Listen to me. This is important. That if thou confess, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You have to speak it. You have to confess it. Amen? You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, arose from the grave, paying the penalty for your sins, and confess him with your mouth. In other words, this is something that I'm going to do verbally. It's not just something I do in my quiet time, even though it's okay to do it in your quiet time. Amen? We're to do it publicly. Amen? Let me say something to you. There is nothing to be embarrassed about asking Jesus to come into your heart. There's nothing to be embarrassed about asking Jesus to forgive you. How many in the room need forgiveness? Let me see your hand. And we're in a room together. Amen. We're all here together, and no one is better than the other. Amen. God loves us all just the same. Amen. That's what I love about God. Amen. He loves us so much. Matter of fact, he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the church, even though God loves the church. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Amen? Are you with me? Well, Pastor, why are you talking about salvation all the time? Because it's the most important thing.
Amen.
There's nothing more important than getting in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't do anything else with the kingdom of God till you do the first thing first. You take the first step, and then he adds to it, and then he adds to it, and then he adds to it. Amen? It isn't about what I've done. It's about what he's done. What we're doing is we're learning to enter into the finished work of Calvary. Amen? I love this next scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. I love this scripture because this speaks about knowing so, not thinking so. Right now, as a child of God, I don't think I'm saved. I don't think maybe, perhaps. According to the Word of God, I have a no-so mentality. Amen? That's why he says, listen to me, in 1 John 5:13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He didn't stop there. I think it's very interesting. He says it again. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, he told me this when I was studying. He said, the first to believe on the name of the Son of God is to be saved. I have to believe in the name of Jesus to be saved. Now, to maintain and have victory, I have to believe in the name of Jesus. Every name named and heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Hello? So I know his name just not to have salvation, but I know his name to have victory. Hallelujah. Every weapon the enemy forms against me will not prosper. And every tongue that rises up, I will condemn. That's the heritage I have as a child of God. Amen. God wants you to know there's more than just saying a sinner's prayer. That God comes in you and takes residence within you. And as he takes residence within you and I, he helps you and I to be victorious. Amen. So in closing today, wasn't that easy? In closing today, what is he saying to you and I in his word today? He said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We found today we had the power, the preaching, the pardon. Now the last thing is the proposal. If anybody's married in the room, when you ask your wife or your husband or whichever chose these days, it doesn't always have to be the man that asks. But when you ask your bride to marry you, you proposed. And what were you looking for? What answer were you looking for? Yes. Yes, come on. Yes. Hit them harder. Jonathan, you don't have room to do that. You have six children, dude. And I was thinking about that, you know. And God's making the most. We're the bride of Christ. Come on. We're the bride of Christ. And he's proposing to us. Now, some guys might not understand this, but it's okay. He's asking us to be his bride. He's asking us because he loves us. He's not asking us to marry him just because he needs us. But he needs you and I. And he has a ring. And when he places the ring on your hand, on your finger, it represents all the promises of him. He's making a proposal to you and I today. He wants you to know how much he loves you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he loves you. And he will not change his mind. He'll keep calling and calling and calling till you answer. I'm thankful for the long suffering of our Father. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and unto the day of salvation I have secured, or I have kept thee. He says, behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, we find the power of the gospel. You heard the preaching of the gospel. There's the parting of the gospel. But there's also the proposal that God is making to each and every one of us. The question is will you answer the call of God on your life? The choice is yours. Bow your heads and let us pray.